I was having what I usually refer to as one of those days. You know, the kind when nothing seems to go right. It had been weeks since I had had a good night's sleep, and every muscle and bone in my body ached with fatigue. Our children were very young at the time, 1, 3, and 5 years old. They were crabby and irritable, whining and fussing, and being as uncooperative as possible. The house looked like a hurricane had swept through it, and some things never change. But there was no time for me even to begin the monumental task of putting everything in order. I had to get to work over at the church, and it was just a moment of crossing the parking lot over to the church building, but by the time I got there, I was already so frazzled and depressed, and all the little stacks of paper that sat in patient little piles all over my desk just added to my feelings of irritability and feeling totally overwhelmed with life, and did nothing to alleviate my bad mood one bit. So I sat there feeling rather sorry for myself and pondering what I should do first. And I began by regrouping all the little bits of paper and notes, hoping that by doing so, my life would at least take on some semblance of organization and order. I didn't have time to really begin any big project because that day I was scheduled to take communion to some of the homebound members of the church. The church that Greg and I were serving at that time was in Western Pennsylvania and had over 100 members who fell into the category of being homebound. So it was a busy job taking communion several times a year to all these wonderful people. So I knew that day was going to be full and I would have little opportunity to do anything else, even though I felt like I had so many things to do. But more than anything else right at that moment, I just wanted to curl up by myself in a little room somewhere where it was quiet and be alone. I wanted to wallow a little bit in my bad mood, but I didn't have the luxury to do any of those things, to withdraw from all contact with the outside world like I felt like doing. I had made arrangements with these people in their homes, and they were counting on me to come out and bring them communion. I couldn't back out on that. I couldn't believe I'd be very good company to anybody at that point, but I determined I would go and do my best. So as I packed up my nifty little home communion kit, I just breathed a very short prayer. Dear God, I feel so lost and blue right now. Help me to serve you and forget my own problems for a while. And off I went. The first house I came to sat at the bottom of a very long and steep driveway. The couple that lived there had lived in that same house for 60 years. As I stepped through the back door, I saw that it looked like it hadn't been clean in about that long. The kitchen floor was so worn down that the linoleum was nearly gone. The walls were cracked and peeling and smudged with dirt that had long ago become a permanent part of the decor. The air was so stuffy, it took all my willpower not to choke as I walked through. But above all that and above all those other smells, there was this wonderful aroma because a pot of homemade soup was boiling on the back burner of the very worn-out stove. I was greeted by the man who lived in that house with his wife with a smile so cheerful and gracious it was like a ray of sunlight in the gray dimness of that kitchen. I followed him into the living room with its worn carpet and saggy furniture and greeted his wife who sat peacefully in a wheelchair. Despite the decrepit, worn-down nature of the room, two things immediately caught my eye. One was the bright, crackling fire in the fireplace that warms a room as only a hearth can do. And the other was the look of pure love on the man's face as he looked over at his wife, warming my soul with a divine warmth that only that kind of love can do. I sat down and the three of us talked and laughed, and I listened to them reminisce about their youth, how they had met, the children they had raised. It was obvious as the minutes ticked by that despite their poor living conditions, despite the fact that the woman was rapidly becoming more and more unable to do anything, despite the effort it took for her husband to take care of her, these were people that were thankful. They were thankful they were still in their home after all those years. They were thankful that he could still care for her with the help of the visiting nurses and family. They were thankful for the soup that would be their meal for that day and several more to come. And as we took communion together, they were thankful for the tiny broken wafers of bread and the little thimbles of grape juice that represented the body of Christ with them. We joined hands and we prayed, giving thanks to God for the holy meal we had shared, giving thanks to God for the blessings in our lives, giving thanks to God for the presence of Christ in that home and in our hearts. As I got up to leave, there were tears in the man's eyes. These were very difficult days for him, and he knew the time would come soon when he would no longer be able to care for his beloved wife at home. Still, he was grateful for the years they had had, for the time they had right at that moment. He thanked me for coming, and his gratitude was so deep and so sincere that I knew that my visit had meant more to him than just a friendly call. That man thanked me, but I was thanking him. For as I left that house, I did not notice what was wrong with it so much as what was right. It no longer looked as depressing as it had when I'd first arrived, for the glow of God's love shone with a holy light from within. By the time I arrived home later on that winter evening, after a number of other visits, each of them as meaningful, the sky was dark, the air chill. Soft snowflakes fluttered in the black sky, dancing like fireflies in the brightness of the streetlights. I clumped up the back steps to my home and opened the kitchen door and stepped into the warmth and brightness of the home that had caused me so much distress earlier that day. The children greeted me with squeals of delight, oblivious to the turmoil and the bad tempers of the morning. I bent down to kiss them, and I had to bend down those days to reach my children, not anymore. I felt the softness of their cheeks pressed up against mine as they threw their welcoming little arms around me. The house was still a mess, and I knew that the piles of papers on my desk back at church were still awaiting my attention. I hadn't yet had that time alone I had so craved earlier that morning. But instead of being curses, all those things that had so distressed me earlier now seemed to me like blessings, and I thanked God with a heart which had been renewed that day. I learned a lot on that gray winter day, lessons I had learned before and have relearned many times since. I learned once more what it means to rejoice in the Lord. I learned what it means to offer prayers to God with a thankful heart, not a grudging one. I discovered yet again that the peace of God comes to us when we need it most and least expect it. I learned that instead of griping about my problems, I should thank God for them, for my problems were actually blessings. I had so much for which to be thankful. I learned that God is present in poverty and despair, and that sometimes the people with the least in life are most apt to give thanks to God for what they have. Most of all, I saw once again how God's great love for us in Jesus Christ has the power to turn even the darkest of our days into light. As we celebrate Thanksgiving 2008, will we do so with thoughts of what we lack, or with hearts full of praise to God for what we have? Will we be bitter for the troubles that assail us, or will we be grateful that in Jesus Christ we have been given the courage and the hope to see us through whatever terrible times we may have to face? We all have so much for which to give thanks to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Pray with me. Oh Lord, sometimes we see what we don't have rather than what we do. Sometimes we dwell in darkness and struggle to see the light. Sometimes we forget to say thanks for the distractions and busyness that are part of our life and part of our blessings as well. And Lord, we often forget to say thanks to you for the love you give us in Jesus Christ, which sees us through, which shines as a light to guide us, but also shines as a light from within. So Lord, bless us to be a blessing to others, and let our light so shine that others may see your good work which is being done in the world and rejoice with grateful hearts. For these things we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, who is our light and our salvation. And let all God's people say, Amen.